ironically, what happens when you're not supported in your childhood and you're not told to be who you are, you will go be someone else. But what happens when you're someone else is that your body starts to get into dis-ease or disease and you start to have conflict.
Welcome to Get Unstuck with Lindsay. I'm your host, Lindsay Lewis, a once very anxious mom who discovered this strange tapping thing and got unstuck. I know when our mind, body, or spirit feel unsettled, defeat can take over. But you're probably here because you're still seeking help and unwilling to quit. I'm a mom, wife, certified practitioner of emotional freedom technique, or EFT, and breakthrough coach. I've designed our time on this podcast to connect you with effective and accessible tools you can begin using right away to feel confident about your breakthrough journey. Together, we will find the root cause and reignite hope for the relief you deserve, one episode at a time. I am so glad we finally found each other.
Welcome to episode 7 of my Unstuck podcast, where we get unstuck on purpose from a common way of thinking. And we're not afraid here to go to very far extremes in our thinking in order to come back to a place of balance. I recently got a little bit stuck on my faith journey, and I tried to think who that I know may have actually journeyed down something similar before me. And it's this girl, Chelsea, who I reached out to. I couldn't believe that she took the time for me. And not only that, but one question spilled out into 1,000 conversations. And we just knew that we needed to gather here together with you and for you and inspire you, just like we inspired each other with the things that we learned because of the open minds that we have been given and we choose to use. So she and I are usually feeling as coaches a little bit bound to like the whole 90-second reel rules on Instagram. And so please join us while we just enjoy long form content here today. You can hit pause as many times as you need to, but please come back to it because I had never known her story of how she left a big pharma and made the big swing over to the holistic side of healing. I think that you're going to enjoy her story as well.
And I love that we have almost no plan, but we're going to have way too much to talk about.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of really hungry women looking for their women right now. And that's,
yeah,
like, that's what connected me with you recently was it was like, man, and that's what I want to talk about. Like, I definitely have some things, like, they were important to me and I knew you were one of the people I could reach out to. And then at the time you had like 217 messages. I think I remember that number for some reason.
So many
asking about a certain video you did. I was like, you know, yes, we need to just be here and finally connect.
Yeah.
And really just share some of those things that we either could be on repeat about or not even get to. And
yeah,
just have it be one place for these women. So I was going to have you share who you are with,
yeah,
people. If you want to just share a little bit about the things that you're passionate about. And one of the things I definitely want to go into is that last post that you had done last week about how climbing into holistic natural health was its own death trap.
Yeah.
I really want to touch on that, but if you want to just briefly share what you're passionate about and we'll kind of just go from there.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love long form content. So this is good. This is really good. I'm going to convey my point in 30-second reel.
Nope. What drew me to you before you tell people who you are, who might not know you yet, is I always feel like I find the center or the balance or the truth by swinging in the two farthest directions. Kind of like you and I talked about last week is when we're being deceived, we don't know we're being deceived. And at one point, the best I could do was be a really good Sunday Christian and serve like I was supposed to serve and show up. And it was important decades for me. I loved my church. You know, I don't hate that season at all. And then over the last couple of years, like seeing COVID and really swinging towards the direction of what a lot of people would call conspiracy theories, even though they've really checked out, you know, to, mm-hmm, be very true. And to understand like the saying you're Christian and knowing that people automatically associate that with somebody horrible in their life who also said they were a Christian, but being somebody who was like, no, I'm not going to let somebody rule me out just because I said a word that reminds them of somebody who doesn't even know Jesus. So I think, mm-hmm, for me, it was like staying really true and authentic to what I knew was good and true, even if other people's perspectives, they were deceived and they simply didn't understand. But then there's this whole other swing of almost like everything being a conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
And it being this whole other world of deception and obsession and religion. And so I just wanted to say that because my podcast hasn't really gone that route yet. And it's just time to connect with somebody who has swung also with me. And there is a lot of movement into coming back into the center and into the middle, but what that looks like isn't anything like I ever thought that it would look like. Tell us what are you passionate about using your platform for?
Yeah. So, I mean, for those of y'all that don't know me, I also have a very casual show called Chronically Healed. It's inside a membership. So what I feel like God called me to do a couple years ago was teach women how to take their personal power back from the healthcare system. So something that I have really been studying over the last 5 years is gender roles, like what a man and a woman are supposed to do on this planet, like gender roles, and then health and what true health looks like, what that looks like, if we can even access divine health right now. Because I feel like in my life, I was always told that health and happiness is somewhere in eternity, right? And I'm like, what a miserable existence. And so I always aligned with the idea of, well, this place is miserable, but eventually it's going to be okay. In that chase of that idol, which we can get into idols later, because this is what my post was about. But I have since learned about idols. I went down a deep dive into what God really says to watch out for in the Bible, because God doesn't tell us to watch out for sin. He tells us to watch out for pride and idols. Like, that is all the theme in the Bible. So we're not taught that in the church at all. And so I kind of went on this quest of like, what is the truth? Not the truth according to Republicans, Democrats, men, women, my mom, his mom, like the truth according to like 100% God. I'm not going to say Jesus, because that was also, and I think can be, an idol in people's lives. I'm sure just me saying that, half the Christians are going to turn this off right now. But my point is that I saw some patterns, right? I was married to someone who his family was in ministry, and I laugh because they were pursuing Jesus, but then never spending time with their family ever. And I'm like, so Jesus is your idol. If you would have said that to them, which I did, you would have been shunned from the entire situation for 5 years and been like, we'll never talk to you again. But in the pursuit of that, I became really like not surrounded by a bunch of bad ideas. And it was at one point just me and Holy Spirit. So the backstory is, like, I guess my entire story is, and in like 30 seconds, is that I now think it was a gift. I was placed in a home with two addict parents. So a lot of people in that situation, they're like, my life sucks, right? I'm predispositioned to sucking. Well, I figured out that you have two choices. You can be predispositioned to that, or that can be an opportunity. Because God, if he doesn't make mistakes and he's always gone before you, then there's no way that that was a problem. So I let that go, that anger go. And then what happened is I kind of made this life for myself. So I went into marketing in the allopathic medicine space, because my dad was high up in big pharma. Now he's a holistic garlic farmer. So that's a whole story.
Oh, yeah, but, I know that one.
Yeah. So he was super high up in big pharma. My mom's a teacher. So, I mean, I love to teach. I love to educate. So that I had like all these best of them and their worlds, but my life was full of so much chaos, a lot of chaos. And so when somebody pitched, I always joke because I'm like, had I not found the church, I would have been in a gang, right? Like, people want to gang up in a family. Like, people want family. They want relationship. They're going to find it no matter how. I personally found it in community and church and didn't go into a gang, although I think that would be kind of fun. So I'm like, I have that chaotic nature in my life, right? So I was like seeing this pattern and I'm like, okay, so I really chased that high of like performance-based stuff for a while. And I was in allopathic marketing. And ironically, what happens when you're not supported in your childhood and you're not told to be who you are, you will go be someone else. But what happens when you're someone else is that you're body starts to get into dis-ease or disease, and you start to have conflict. So I found myself hitting a major health issue, and then God convicting me that it was because of my lifestyle, which I was like, that's such a weird thing to wrap my head around. But I went through all of allopathy to try to tackle that first. And what I ended up seeing was like, okay, their only solution is like an antidepressant with breakthrough Xanax. Like, you know, it was just the most ridiculous solution. So I tried that and never really got better. And then I married my husband from New Zealand, and he just said to me one day, I don't know how you go to work and you sell people on the idea of cancer and appendicitis, and you design all these billboards when that doesn't even exist in other countries. And I was like, what? And so instead of trying to find the research studies and what America says about it, because why would someone who's hanging on to an idea tell you the truth? I learned that from my narcissistic parents. So what I think was so interesting is I was like, all right, I'm going to look at every single other country in the world and how they do healthcare, and how, and see what that looks like. And with that came religion and culture and other stories. And so it got me into this like whole broken apart thing that I started studying. And what I realized is like the plan of the enemy, Satan, whatever you want to call him, is for us to be not ourselves, for us to be in conflict and in disease. And so I was like, all right, well, I don't want that. So I'm very logic and reason. Like, I'm the type of person that's like, that makes sense to me, or that doesn't make sense to me. And I've always had that. And in church, they would call that the gift of discernment. So I'm like, that's amazing. Great. Love that gift. You know, like all the truth seekers, they have that gift too. They're like, I'm a truth seeker. I'm like, girl, you just have the gift of discernment.
Yes.
But there's a time and a place for discernment, right? And then also you can idolize your gifts. So for me, like, all during COVID, kind of like you, it's like God stripped everything away. And he just convinced me of this one main idea that as long as we chase our idols and put them above Jesus, that we will be in trouble. And the other idea is that we have connection to the Holy Spirit. So I was always like, how do we have connection to Jesus? That makes no sense to me. He's not here. And so many people were feeling so disconnected. And I was feeling so disconnected. And I'm like, what disconnects us from Jesus or from God? And what disconnects us is disruption. It's what is on the planet that is counterfeit. And so when I birthed my platform, it was so crazy. I had my job at the hospital, but I knew I was going to quit. I was like praying for a solution. And I accidentally went viral because I was super mad because I had to have open heart surgery in 2016. And I was asked to speak at our hospital about recovery time. So about if you prepped your body for surgery. So I took the 6 month before surgery and I did juicing protocol. I went all holistic. I prepped my body like for surgery. I had done a couple of detoxes.
I have a question. Did the hospital instruct you to do that?
No. So that was during my pursuit of other countries' healthcare. So actually, funny you should ask. I went to New Zealand because I literally thought I was dying. My husband's like, let's go on a trip to see my homeland because you're dying. We had life insurance set up. We were like insane. And we had our kids already. And allopathy was telling me that I was dying. They were like, you're dying. You have stage 2 heart failure. You're freaking dying. I was like, what? So I'm believing this whole lie. And I did have a hole in my heart. So people will be familiar with an ASD. I did have a congenital defect, they said. Now, I've since studied that that was brought on by Wi-Fi and expedited by Wi-Fi. So I think I probably could have lived with that forever. The reason it became a problem was living under high-powered power lines. So that's a whole interesting conversation. But we went to New Zealand and I met someone who had a biomedical scanner and she said, oh, let's bring all the energy up in your body because your heart doesn't emit any energy. And she's like, you'll have a way better outcome in surgery. And I was like, okay. So I started working with her virtually. And then when I came back, she had given me this whole protocol of things to do. And I was like, okay, cool. And then the normal time to get out of a hospital when you go through open heart surgery is 6 to 10 weeks in the hospital. So that's the normal, that's 82% of Americans that go in for any age. This is ages babies through 80 year olds is 6 to 10 weeks. So they were like, hire a nanny, your whole life's going to change. You need to move here, get an apartment. We're talking a hospital that was 2 hours from me. And 9 days later, I'm walking out of the hospital, like completely fine, had a pacemaker, which that's how my platform was born, which I'll wrap this story up. But basically, I just started to piece it all together because I was in the allopathic sales and then I became a patient, right? So I'm sitting here and I'm listening to the verbiage, but I'm just going through it because I'm as a patient, I'm on all this medication and stuff. And so after surgery, my surgeon said, okay, in 80% of the cases, when you get out of open heart surgery, we insert pacemakers. It's routine. That word routine is a marketing word. So I said, okay, followed along because I didn't know that. It's not an option. It's a routine insertion. So a pacemaker is $32,000. So when people, I mean, if in 80% of the cases, when somebody wakes up from open heart surgery and they can't get out of bed and you're putting in a pacemaker, like you're running a gold mine. So I was like, okay, the second thing that tipped me off was I have the surgery. I have the pacemaker insertion. This is the best. And the two doctors, because there's not one doctor that does that stuff. There's two. So there's the electrophysiologist and the cardiothoracic surgeon. So they come in and they're talking to me. They don't collaborate. They don't work at the same facility. They're, you know, like in their own clinics and they have hospital operating rights at the hospital I had the surgery at. So they come in and one of them is like, okay, here's the protocol for this bandage. And the open heart surgery, they went in on my right side and the pacemaker is on my left. So two different bandages, two different companies, two different protocols for showering and care. I looked at my husband and I was like, this is one body. And I'm like, so skinny. So how the fuck does that happen? Right. I don't want to have like super bad language, but I was like laughing in the hospital about that whole thing. Like it just opened my eyes. I was like, it hit me like a ton of bricks. I'm like, this is all marketing. Like this is a whole sales funnel. So I always get chills when I talk about it because I absolutely love telling that story. So I went viral because I literally made a post about that. There wasn't reels back then. I made a post about that and went viral. And I had an inbox of like a couple hundred women who were like, I think I've been sold into stuff. And I think I've been sold into stuff. And I'm like, great, let's talk about it. And then I was like, all right, I can't keep my job if I keep talking about this. So you know, I kind of like guide my job up pre-COVID when everybody was making those hard choices. That was like already happening for me. But yeah, so that was like the funniest thing to me. Most people lean towards that would piss them off, right? The entire time I advocated for people to see the perspective of like, that's a gift. What's next? So when I expose stuff on my platform, because it is kind of an exposure platform, it's an advocacy about your body and about big pharma and just went down crisis actor rabbit hole. But when I expose stuff, I tell you the solution. I tell you what you should do next. And what you should do next is always first and foremost, just understand that you have a role in your healthcare. And the second that you don't step up as a willing participant in that role, you're at risk for being sold into something else. And that's fine. Some sales are good. Like I sell things.
Name one.
I mean, Olivetta is pretty good. your membership's probably pretty good. Like some are good. Some sales funnels will get you, you know, with a battery inserted device in your body that who knows if you ever needed it and they never take it out. You know what I mean?
Do you have it? Do you have it in?
I do. Yeah. And I'm up for a battery change in March. And it's funny because there was a time last year where I was like, I'm just not going to get that battery changed. I personally don't think that I'm dependent on it, but I get anxious when I go in for the diagnostic. So it looks like I am. Also, the doctor is like, we don't take these out. Like, that's incredibly invasive. I'm like, well, what if we just don't renew the battery? He's like, I mean, we can't force you to come in the hospital. I'm like, so my option right now is I've gone obviously down that big hole and I'm going to get a very extensive round of colon hydrotherapy. And then I'm going to go into the hospital voluntarily and have them turn it all the way off and see what my heart does under monitoring. So we'll see. I'll be probably talking about that all on my platform, or maybe I won't, I don't know. And so, I mean, here 8 years later, I'm like, the electricity is probably fine. Like everyone thinks it's fine. I think it's fine. Mm-hmm. When I was pregnant, I had diagnostic done and I had a heartbeat underneath. It was fine. but they call it a category 2 heart block. And then last time I went in, they were like, oh yeah, it's still there. So, I mean, it might still be there and I'm totally peaceful if I get the battery renewed, because I'm pretty much not ready to leave the planet yet, I don't think. But I'm also like navigating the option, and I teach women, like, why do we align with being ill forever? So I just don't align with that. Like, I just went through a whole pregnancy and pulled myself out of being a heart patient to have a home birth legally, because legally you can't have a home birth when you're a heart patient. So my midwife was like, well, I'm not going to take you unless you, you know, like sign all this liability. And I'm like, that's fine, I'll assume all the liability. But I didn't want any heart history. Didn't want to listen to my medical history. Didn't want to repeat it to me. You can put up such good boundaries about being a healed person. So that's another thing I talk about and what I teach people.
Well, and my favorite thing that you said was that you give people solutions. I think that was something there was like so many of us got hungry for the truth, right? No matter what the cost is.
Yeah.
And I think that there's two types of people. There's people who have to like be right. And so it doesn't matter what they believe, if it's a truth or a lie, they have to be right. And so they're going to just like, no, this is how it is. And they get really mean and nasty. And then there's the other people, you know, I think like us, who are like, maybe. And that's why can't we just say maybe? Maybe that big pharma is a sales funnel. There's a more holistic, natural way to do it. I just don't have that in me to like need to know, like to need to be right.
And
like, why would I be right? So like, I'm not God. Like, I don't know everything. So
right.
For a while too, like being so like starving for the truth, and we want the truth no matter the cost. Like, if I have to undo every single thing I've ever learned, but now I believe the truth, that's what I want, which is where a lot of us have landed. Right. And so there was a lot of, it was my husband we had to unfollow so many people who we really did agree with and appreciate, but it was just another form of fear porn.
Yeah.
It's like,
I see it every day.
Like I see it. We believe you, but like, give us a solution, right?
Yeah.
Give us a solution. Tell us what is our next step? Because if we're not talking about action and hope and goodness and how to change this, we're just part of the narrative and part of the problem. And
totally.
Like you said, the enemy's goal is,
disease.
So I always like, it's separation. Like if he can get us separated from ourselves, separated from others, and separated from God, then that's all he cares about. And look at COVID season. That's all it was separation, which does create this ease. So, I love that you provide solutions, and that's why I never hesitate to send people over to your page. Also because you're funny. And I think that we need that like lightheartedness too, of like, hey, like we're just real moms here figuring this stuff out, sharing it along the way. Because once you realize something, you're like, oh my gosh, like I can't unknow this now. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's always going to be hit with a disagreement. But, and I always wondered too, like you've probably got a lot of people sharing some insane opinions in there, but you know, you've been really good at, who are the women who are just like I was, who just need a person to say, have you considered that, right? That they call well baby checks, because if they called it, you know, what
if
it is.
It injection appointments. You'd be like, wait, what? What's going in my body?
No. And I was like, oh,
holy marketing.
Do a well baby visit. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I love that about you. I'm just glad that you provide a place where people can show up, get some good, solid truth. I think nobody really wants to learn from somebody who doesn't have a clue. So to be able to say, I was where you're at, I was injecting my babies, and now here's where I'm at. That's what people really need. You know, people aren't going to come to me if I've never understood anxiety in my entire life. But if I was chronically anxious down to the point on Xanax and it wasn't working, and something worked, like, now I can say like, hey, like I'm going to offer you exactly what I needed 20 years sooner. Mm-hmm. So that's really important for women to know, because sometimes women are just afraid to ask the questions or don't have a safe person maybe that they're in a relationship with. So I appreciate that your place is a very safe place.
Yeah. I mean, I've been trying to get more into that. Like I can spot it from a mile away when somebody's pursuing like what I would call the holy truth, and someone's just wanting to get clicks and controversy, right? I mean, people wouldn't believe this, but there's two things that don't happen to me online, but I was scared of them happening forever. So I wish I would have started sharing sooner. I don't get hit up in my DMs by men, and I don't get hit up with controversy very often. Like, no one comes to my platform to fight because I'm not making myself the idol. I don't ask people to follow me. I ask them to ask their own questions. So it's really interesting because I see so many people who are like, follow me. This blue house thing, if I've had a dollar for every truther that is sharing that, I have not shared that because I don't believe it. But if I had a dollar for that, that are just saying it's a thing. And then even in their own comments, they're like, well, I don't really know, but I just shared that. Like, I just want to call them all out, but it's a waste of energy. It's total loosh. Then you start fights. Like, you start fights when you aren't like working in a true self. And honestly, that's like an entity. And that's something I don't want to be a part of. Like, I am connected to some of the most renowned physicians, I think, in the whole world, and they all don't have platforms. So when I refer people to them, and as a person, like not only a millennial, but a general person who loves social media, I'm like, why don't you have a platform? You're crazy. And that's why they don't want to deal with that. And I understand that completely because, I mean, there is the odd thing where you trigger somebody, but for the most part, like, I feel like once the real Holy Spirit has convicted you of some information, like, you're like, you have this ground to stand on, right? Like, I tell people, I'm like, I promise you that if you go ask the Holy Spirit to reveal the true nature on this incident, he will. And like, people will hit me up and be like, where's all your research? I'm like, I'm not going to send you any research. Like, I'm not going to spend 8 hours with you. You can pay me $250 an hour and I'll spend 8 hours with you. Or you can go get your own answer. And like, that does frustrate some people.
But, well, because people like me aren't great at doing their own research. Like, well, I don't know where to start. Like,
now I will send you things.
Like, how do I find what I'm not, how do you find something that you can't see? Which was one of my big questions about the Bible.
Yeah.
And for so long I believed, like, no, the Bible hasn't been changed because we're not allowed to change it. Like, God said nothing should be added or taken away. So, but that was when I also believed that, like, no, this Xanax wouldn't be bad for me because it probably has to go through so many different certification processes. There's no way anything could get through to me that would be dangerous. And it's like, the very people who created it are the very ones who are saying that, you know, fine, we can sell it. Like, yeah. So it's like fact checkers on Facebook. It's like, no, you fact that. So now I get it, but what, you know, if someone's listening and maybe, you know, cause I work with a lot of like religiously injured because Jesus came to destroy religion. And that's what people don't understand. Like, he came to destroy it. There really shouldn't be religion. There shouldn't be idols. There shouldn't be that. But if we have a girl here who's like, you know, I've been super new age or I've been super religious and I just am so hungry for this relationship with the one true God and the Holy Spirit. You know, I know how I help women reconnect with that. But if you had just a couple pieces of encouragement, maybe to, you know, because you and I are talking about like our own discernment and I know how God speaks to me. Like, I know he's very real, but you know, some people, like, how do we find what, like, how do we know it's been taken from the Bible? It's not there. How do we know it's been added? Because it's there. And people will go down telling you this Bible has not been changed and it is totally and perfectly accurate. That's not true.
Yeah. Yeah. So, the Bible is like a visual guide, right? Like, it's like, I know I'm going to get somebody listening is going to be like, whatever, it is the holy word of God. I'm not saying it's not that, but every word in that Bible, God did not speak. Okay. First of all, like, when people even say that, that's not exactly the truth. Second, I mean, it is an inspired word of God, probably by the people who wrote those books. But, and I am a Bible reader. I'm a follower of Jesus. I consider myself pretty deeply rooted in faith, but I'm not going to idolize religion. So there's actually an entire, problem. If you do a cytoscan, like a biomedical scan, you can see what comes up with the body. And most of the time it's called religious nature. And it also shows on a bioresin scan, which I do in my practice. Religious nature is when you have an idea, like a neural pathway problem that is like legalism. So you have a mental block. We would call it a mental block to healing, but it would be a mental block. So you always think, okay, why am I doing that? Why? Okay. So for example, like, what makes me afraid to not vaccinate my kids? What makes me afraid of the sun? Like, you start muscle testing and triaging those kind of questions, right? That's where you find out where religious nature came in. Typically, religious nature comes in through occult practices in your family, witchcraft, Freemasonry. There's a lot of things that bring in religious nature. And those are the ones that people point out. Now, taking years of over the counter medication is sorcery too. So I tell people that. I'm like, okay, well, that's also, you got to look at that. But what I do, I keep it simple, because when I was pursuing this version of chasing Jesus that was so complicated and it felt like chaos, I truly believe that that was not Jesus, that that was the false light. So we know there's two systems. There's the false light, which is very close to the truth. That's when people tell me, oh, the new age is just the new age. I'm like, no, crystals and rocks and vibrations are not new age. That's freaking the original age. Okay. New age is pharma and sorcery and all of that. Like, I mean, I'll just go there, because I'm like, girlfriend, yeah. It's just marketing, right? Like, if you literally train your brain and you're like, that's ancient age knowledge, you're like, all right, well, this is actually a pretty new concept. 100 years of this little pill is a new age thing. So I'm like, that's fine if you want to go there. But I'm just like, the funny thing is, when I triage that kind of stuff and when I teach people, is like, there's a couple things you have to do to unwrap the body from participation, because it's almost like this: you stand in the way of your cellular connection to the Holy Spirit. So here's what I believe. You don't have to work for your connection to the Holy Spirit. It is always there communicating with you through vibrational frequencies. Now, whether you can feel that or have access to that is largely to do with your habits and a lot to do with your childhood. So a lot of people will actually try to go back into trauma, which I think that is productive in some cases to see why you got wrapped up in the first place. But there's also just a choice to move on. Like, there's a choice to forgive. Like, I say this to my husband all the time. He's like, how do I do it? How do I do it? How do I do it? He'll do every single parasite cleanse, every single da 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 da. He's always running himself crazy with some like new thing he wants to try. I mean, right now he's eating only oranges for 30 days. I'm like, Jesus Lord. So, I mean, it's fine though. I love him. I talk about him because he allows it. So I'm only saying stuff that he allows. But
please keep me updated on 30 days of oranges.
Well, he's lost like 15 pounds and he looks amazing. And he's like, I feel great. I'm like, I bet you do, because that's like all you're eating. So I'm like, I need to get in on that. Right. But at the end of the day, like, he's doing that hoping that he can remove some interference. So in one way I'm proud. In the other way, I'm like, I really hope you're not idolizing the oranges. Right. So the funny thing is I tell people, it's actually very simple. And I think it boils down to one idea. And I am like kind of boldly saying this now. I think the church changed baptism on purpose and started this sprinkling bull crap with baptism. I say that because God is most present in water. Water stores memories. There's a wonderful podcast that I can give to you to link in the comments of this. It's like insane if you want to hear it.
I started listening to it.
Yes. Oh my gosh. From Topher, right? So I'm like, and I know him on a personal level. He's from Missouri. He's like renowned person, but I'm like, his friend Isabel breaks this down so beautifully, and she ties in like God into the whole thing. So there's like waters above, so below. If we live by water, the literal thing that sustains us that we cannot live without is water and air. So I'm like, okay, most people now think we even get our minerals from the air. Like, that's why so many people thrive on like bad diets, right? Like, still survive. So that whole concept to me is like, I'm still going down that rabbit hole. But what I did figure out is that if water has the ability to change its complete state, like, people will say, well, I tried to make that choice. And one thing that I see with like people, including my husband, is we've done this practice with the church where we baptize babies and where we do it with like sprinkling. Like, and I'm like, that baby never ever was told by the parents, and this is going to hurt some people, that it was allowed to connect with Holy Spirit. Not only that, but our bodies are 75% water, And that baby was never reset on a cellular level and imprinted with the messaging of Jesus Christ. It was in that generational sin pattern. So what I find really interesting is submersive baptism, which is what we see in the Bible. And people will say, oh, how did you come to this conclusion? This is what the Holy Spirit has shown me. It's in the Bible, but this is what the Holy Spirit has shown me. We've changed baptism to sprinkling in most denominations. So Methodists, Catholics, like the biggies that control the world. And the Jews don't even do it anymore. And then we have this very clear-cut practice in the Bible where the Holy Spirit comes to Jesus, not the one he left with us, the one that comes to Jesus. When the sky opens up and the Father says, I am proud, and sends the dove, that's Jesus's Holy Spirit. So I'm like, we have that. And that happened after a submersive baptism. So if that's the case, then I'm like, I do think that sometimes you need to re-imprint your cells. So there's like cellular memory in the body. The body keeps the score. All these books are like out there that people can read. And until you come under that submission of like a changed state, you will still function in your former state. Now,
so I just want to help connect a dot. Most anybody who's going to listen to this has already become aware mm-hmm. that our food is poisoned.
Yes.
Totally poisoned.
Yes.
Our air.
Yes. Our water is poisoned.
Our water. And not only that, but it's stripped of important minerals. So any bottled water you buy is very, not only stripped, but then also sitting in plastic. So I think to understand what you and I have been talking about, what you're saying is you first have to understand that, which goes back to this, like the spiritual soul ties and the energy stuff, is we standing as the child of God that God created, like the person of Chelsea or the person mm-hmm. of Lindsay or the person of whoever's listening. If everyone's will was in alignment with God's will surrounding the birth of us, we would be in perfect alignment with God, right?
Yes.
Because we'd have a dad who is not perfect, but looking to God on how to be a good father, a good partner, a good provider, and a woman who's looking to God to say, how can I be a godly partner, a godly wife? And so I always like, it creates this beautiful netting, mm-hmm. This right of like, this is what you were supposed to be held in. And instead, right, there was, how were you ever supposed to be shown your true identity? Right. So we think of trauma as like pain inflicted.
Yeah.
Words spoken to us that hurt. But what about what we needed to create foundation and identity? Right. And to be allowed to say, I'm having a feeling, and to be able to cry about it. And your parents are like, great. Like, let's keep going. So there's this idea, and I'm still with you.
Yeah.
Is what about what we were designed for?
Yes.
Okay. So God had a design, and the design was the parents who were to hold you the way the Holy Spirit would hold you, because they're acting as the Holy Spirit and as God's nature. And most of us didn't have the need. So then there was these needs withheld. And that's where you said, then instead of being us, we go be someone else. So now we also had needs, right? To have water, because like you were saying with Topher and all of the math, and it's incredible. Like I'm super into that. If the water that we are ingesting from day one had sat in the sunlight, right? Sat in the moonlight, received what God created the water to receive from the beauty that he created before it goes into our body. If the food that he had originally created to cooperate and be in alignment with our body, if that's what we were eating, right? But look at all these babies on formula right out of the starting gate. And it's pure. There's not nutrients for their poor little bones and their poor little bodies. And any mom listening who had to do formula, like
that was
not an attack on those women. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, this is, this is not that. It's like, because it's that's what was provided. So we in our nature were created for what God put above us, what he put below us, what he put around us. And he made our bodies to function so perfectly. I almost wonder if you'd have to search for the Holy Spirit in that case, because you're so full of the truth and knowing and goodness that when something would be misaligned, like trauma related, you'd just be like, that's not right. And you'd go the other direction.
Well, so, you know how I feel about that. I think that's like totally accessible. You don't have to search for it. Holy Spirit.
No. So I wanted to bring it back to what you're saying about water, because I think it comes down to, right, if someone, because there's still this, which is what I want to help break up for girls, is this like the next tool and this tool. And if I, and I have to get this, it's like we have to go all the way back to and imagine what it was our original design. Why, how were we originally designed to function so that our intuition, so that our discernment, so that we can hear the Holy Spirit and the way he speaks to us. Now, look at all the things that are interfering, right? That are here instead of what we were created for. What's here instead? The sun is blocked. The moon is blocked. Our water is being stripped of minerals. Our food has poison on it. All of this is going into our organs that weren't created to process poison. So that's what I kind of wanted to touch on, of like, we're speaking to people who might not realize yet that that antidepressant that they're on is blocking. It's blocking what they were created to be connected with.
Yes.
Anyone on antidepressants, I love you. Like, I help women all the time get off those things because they can feel that they're not connected. So when we are going towards how do we listen to the Holy Spirit? How do we hear him? I think maybe it's a little bit two part or three part. One, what was your original design and what in your life is interfering with that? You do have to understand that the things around you that you don't know about, like there's entities that want us to be poisoned. So look at what could you be receiving that is anything other than the goodness you were created for your body to receive? That's in the way of your discernment, your intuition, your knowing. And then, right, just the busy culture, hustle culture. So then if we were to remove everything that we weren't even designed for, and now we're sitting in this perfect place of who God designed us to be, to function perfectly with what he created here, then we're good. So to get back to the Holy Spirit, what you're saying is, because you're saying submerge yourself in but spirit-filled water, like hit the reset button. But
well, that's part of it. Yeah.
Right. But also like for people who don't even understand like energy medicine or frequency, but it's like, no, like we need a reset. We need, and the way because frequency is something I did want to talk about a little bit, but my best explanation I ever got, because I struggled because I was in the like, have to find the next best tool, have to get this, have to do this, have to take this supplement three drops every 3 minutes for the next 3 days. And it was like so confusing. And so I think first it's like, how do we just stop for a second and know like that is an idol that is in the way right now? How do we stop and reset when we've been taught to fear doing everything wrong, not doing something, and really come back to who is the heart of like the Holy Spirit, because that's what we're really missing. So the frequency thing that helped me was when Mariah Carey, I think you're a lot younger than me, when Mariah Carey hit that high note, and the wine glass broke. Do you remember?
You remind me so much of Danielle, the one I'm like, come work with us. She's like, always like, if you can just channel Mariah, you will heal. I'm like, Danielle, you were out of your mind.
No, I don't care about that. But she hit that high note and the glass broke. Remember?
Yeah. Yeah.
So that was the energy, the sound frequency.
Yes.
Was the same frequency as the glass. Mm-hmm. So when her sound waves came through and touched the glass, it shattered. So when we're talking about like, which is a whole other topic, like energy medicine or frequency, and you're saying like
people need to be submerged and reset, there's a frequency thing there that some people aren't familiar with. So what helps me to understand it, ground one is if when we have a frequency of anxiety, because it is its own frequency, and I'm helping people really focus in on it, talk about it, and we're tapping, what we're doing is we're pulling that frequency of anxiety up, we're breaking it.
Mm-hmm.
We're breaking it. And so that's what's helping it leave. So to be submerged in water, or to reset ourselves on a cellular level, understanding, you know, water and how it's been stripped and what we're created for, understanding what we're eating and drinking that's getting in the way of all of this working, is really it's a frequency thing. And the frequency of one thing can push out that out of your body. So
yes. So yes. I can break it down pretty simply as well. I mean, like, so a couple things. When I say energy medicine too, it's more in belief systems. So when people come work with me, I'm like, let's first look at the belief systems. And they're like, no, you just recommend to me what the next steps are and what we can do and what I can take. And this will go back, tie into my post really nicely. But I'm like, none of that's going to work unless we talk about the belief systems. I'm like, it might work for a little bit because the brain's deceptive, and you might, just by taking action, your brain will convince you that you have done something. So you will seem like you've healed. Now, I teach people, my practice is called Living Healed, because living healed is a state of being healed and standing in that every single day and knowing that there's things that will come in and disrupt. Like when I go to dance competitions, I get headaches because I'm not used to being at a 12-hour insane concert in a room. And that's a disruption for my body because we don't have a household that does that. But that's similar to what it's about, right? So when I say belief systems, most people, what I find really interesting is I talk about counterfeit a lot. Counterfeit is like, if you look at what God originally designed, and then you look at Lucifer. Lucifer is always trying to do what God did, but Lucifer didn't come up with any new ideas. So what's awesome is that he can only take what God did, slightly change it, and make it seem like true. So that's called counterfeit. So when you see something like the sun is a good example. We're supposed to be living according to the sun. Now we have electricity and artificial light boxes, and we've recreated the sun in our lives to account for more productivity, more misalignment, more of this, more of that. Like we literally pull indoor lighting. I'm not saying we should go back to the 60s. That's not what I'm saying, or whenever, 1600s. I'm saying not 1600s is what I meant to say, not 60s. But like what I'm saying is that you have to look at it and go like, is this a counterfeit of what God did? And if it is, it's disruptive, right? Now it doesn't have to be disruptive. You can exist in light and your body can be totally fine. But what you have to do is you have to acknowledge that and come out from under the sin of pride. The pride is the problem. In the Bible, it doesn't say the toxins are the problem. In fact, it says that you can drink poison and be totally fine. What is the problem is the sin of pride. So that's what I got convicted of like a while ago. So this is why I teach women. The free access to the Holy Spirit goes back to being like, when did I get separated from the Holy Spirit? So this is like what you're talking about. Like, so we're in, I mean, you guys can study this for yourself. I believe we're in a stationary contained environment. I do not believe we're on a spinning ball in space. It's fine if you do. That's not my belief. What the Lord has shown me is that we're not, I don't know what we are on, but I think we're in a contained environment. So I want to steer away from flat earth because I don't align myself with that whole ideology, but I do believe,
but that's another conspiracy, right? Where they're like flat earthers. And it's like, wait a minute. My husband and I went down that. I'll say it. We went down that.
Yes.
We're like, you know what? We need to just figure out like, how could these people be sold out to this concept that we all know, like we all have globes in our classrooms and
science books.
NASA gets billions of dollars a day to do research. Of course, like they're giving us the right information, just like big pharma is. And so we did, we were like, let's just figure out what those crazy flat earthers think. And it was really, about as fun as you experienced it, as we were like,
Oh my gosh, we've never seen a real image of Earth from NASA. And
for sure. Oh, so and also every pilot's instruments don't account for a curve, but you guys can go down that whole rabbit hole.
I think it's a good practice for some people who haven't learned yet how to say maybe, because it's something you can like go down that rabbit hole in your own private time without telling. Do not tell anybody you're going down that rabbit hole. They will immediately hate you and question you and make you feel crazy for like, I mean, as a child, didn't all of us look up and go, I don't feel like I'm spinning. Children.
Yes.
Like, as children, we were brainwashed because we were like, I feel like I'm holding still. Well, because you are. So I'll give you that one, as we already went down that rabbit hole and it's really hard to start proving that we're spinning around and shooting through space. But,
I don't want to go down that very far.
We just did. But what I want to say to it is, coming to the other side and being able to say, maybe, only provided us more freedom.
Yes.
It showed us exactly how big the lie could be running.
Yes.
And why would someone lie? Is because if you can lie about the foundation, going back to that God and mom and dad thing, if you can lie about the foundation you're standing on, we'll believe anything.
Yes.
So it really helped us. And then the next time I read Genesis, I was like, just painting a picture of
like it's also making contained sense now.
System. And how come we never read Genesis and think of a contained system? Because we were told it's around spinning ball, shooting through space.
Yeah.
So that was one of the most exciting things for me and I'm okay with people disagreeing with me as a Jesus follower. People have always disagreed. Like, it's nothing new to me, but like, I'm standing here pretty damn free right now with my, you know, understanding of God seeming a little bit bigger and crazier every single day, you know?
Yeah. So, I mean, what I think's so interesting is like, that's the first belief system you need to break. I'm not saying you need to figure out the earth is flat. I'm saying that what you need to look at is at least in the generation we're in right now, I don't care what your ancestors did. You can study that. Your ancestors did not birth in a hospital, in big pharma, in the contained environment. Big pharma has replicated the contained environment of God. So that's a counterfeit system. So what is interesting is we go into an artificial light box, we schedule it up, and it's a building, and it has everything there. It has an authority figure that's the God. There's male and females. They step into the role of the father. Usually the father's kicked out of birth. Like, there's a lot there to unpack. I'm getting ready to do a series on this. So that's the first contained environment where you get really deceived, like you and your babies. So it's like, okay, so they made you feel like their contained environment's better. So this is when people, you know, are like born, they're already like, wow, I came into the world. I got stabbed by a freaking stranger. My parents were stressed as hell and there's artificial lights everywhere. When you think about it, you're like, that baby was probably terrified. When I cure colic in my practice, typically I can cure colic just with that alone, like asking the mom to repent for that. And then once the mom really wraps her head around that, the baby will sleep like a freaking charm. So what's really interesting is, so that's that. And when I said that about the water, cause I want to tie it all back in. What's interesting is these ideas we're told, right? These counterfeit versions of what we're told actually heals. So if you can, this is my opinion, if you can replicate the contained environment, the false environment, if you can change water and the way that we're submerged and change baptism, and if you can step in the way of food, like disrupt food and change light, then no wonder everybody is freaking incredibly confused. And that also goes back. I have a reel on my page to, it's just called Proverbs 23:16. Where's the lie? It's that verse about training up your child in the way we should go. If you actually dig into what that says to create a shanak, which is a dwelling of the Lord. So what you're supposed to do is offer your child as a dwelling of the Lord. So your child would be, in a sense, pursuing not you and your ideas, the Lord. Now, I know we have to instruct our children, but Western church is like, beat the hell out of your kids and make them listen to you and teach them the way in my denomination. And y'all, that is not what it says in the Bible. So I'm like, okay, when you look at it like that, you're like, all right. And look, I'm a person who has learned along the way with my five kids. So I just want to make sure that nobody listening is thinking like this person is just on her high horse, all figured out. The reason I have my platform is because I was on government assistance. I was shoved through the medical system, abused by providers. My daughter and son were formula fed. They're fully vaccinated. My third one, I still didn't have the power to do a natural birth. I was in the hospital system, did an induction. Like there's so much that I like, you know, have gone through and, you know, all the way to a free birth in my home with my fifth one. But what's really interesting is just understanding the belief systems. I don't hear very many providers talk about belief systems. In fact, I hear literally next to none say belief systems. They're like, let me find the pill, let me find the diagnosis, and let me find the supplement for you, which is the functional medicine. That's why I posted about, because I know we'll be getting to time soon, but we can definitely do a part 4, 5, 6, 10, 15, because all of these topics could require like 2 hours. But, you know, I just posted about that because it's like you said, with the water, the things that they disrupt the hardest that they're really after, if a woman starts looking at them, sunscreen, you know, and you said a couple things about the water, but I want to mention one more that's more important is the EMF towers on all the water towers, the cell towers on water towers, y'all. That is directly influencing your water with negative frequencies of whatever the government or the phone company chooses. So they can ping whatever they want into your water. There's so many studies out there of all these protests and riots and things that get really heightened where they're enhancing water under the ground in the sewer system. So that's like, I always say, I'm like, don't go protest. Like, do not do that. We're not called to chaos. So when you're feeling chaos, that's almost always because of frequencies and disruption, like we've been talking about. So you got to, though, until you can even buy into that, you got to figure out your belief systems. And I will venture to say you have to be okay with, and this is what I was not okay with for a long time. You got to be okay with the fact that like the next pill or protocol or whatever is not going to heal you. Even if it's natural, it can. And I say that, and then people will be like, well, you're recommending minerals and you're recommending this in your practice. Like I do recommend some things. Like if you're using an onslaught of personal care products, I recommend you go minimalist and use, you know, 4 or 5, like, or even one. Like I'm a one care product person. I have an acute care medicine cabinet built up that's quite nice, but I'm not sitting out here taking 20 supplements a day. I'm taking, well, first of all, I learned the muscle test. Second of all, I'm taking, you know, a B complex because I like that. I have MTHFR. I don't even believe MTHFR has to be that serious. So when people say, oh, what do you take for MTHFR? I say, well, what's your lifestyle like? My lifestyle is very high strung, very high stressed. And sometimes I feel like I don't methylate as well as I should because I haven't been on the ground or I haven't been in the light. If you have a lifestyle where you can just get 30 minutes of sun and get 30 minutes of grounding, probably don't need that B vitamin. Here's where we talk about like mass approaches that get people sold into stuff. So like, and the whole notion of testing, which yeah, in my clinic, I do bioresonance testing. So one test can show you every single thing that you have on every MRI, everything, all the tests, any blood panel, MRI, all of it, it show you in one scan. Everything all the way as deep as the mitochondrial level where energy is disrupted, because that's what your tests are showing. But people get very hung up on like, what does that blood say? And what does this say? And then before you know it, they're trying to adjust things on a one-off basis. When the body is a circuit, if you study traditional Chinese medicine, it has a constant flow of energy that never stops. There's no pauses. Even when you sleep, you have a heartbeat and you're still alive. So the testing doesn't make sense. I mean, it seems really good, but when you look at it, you're like, I mean, I directly experimented on myself. I went through functional medicine kind of knowing that it was going to be, it was 50-50. Mentally, yeah. I needed the tests. Other side of me was like, okay, you're already kind of getting aware of this. So I was working with two different doctors. One was an energy medicine provider, one was functional medicine. Cost me an arm and a leg. But what I started to realize was, if I had a fight with my husband, my test would show something different. If I did da 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 da, my test would show something different. So it's like,
so for, you know? So on that, like for me, when it started getting like too much, like yes. this test, that test, muscle testing, real labs.
Yeah.
And I got confused.
Yes.
That was the day that I was like, there's no way that this is what God really has for me. Like no. I'm good at using tools that he's given me, but this confusion and chaos can't be. And so I think that like tuning into those moments, because we really do have that intuition, which really is God's voice in us.
Yes, it is.
I remember that day so clearly for me when I was like it was becoming an idol. I have to take this at this time, this many times. Yeah. I have to, or else. And so like for girls to listen to that dialogue of the things, because as an anxiety specialist, I'm just like, what are the things that are triggering you and tripping you up in your day? How do mm-hmm. we neutralize those so you can stop, breathe, and think clearly? Like that thinking yeah. clearly, learning how to trust yourself helps you to learn how to trust God. Learning how to trust God more helps you learn how to trust yourself more. And I just finally, like, I threw it all up and I said, you know what? If I really need all of this in order to be well, then I don't even want it anymore. There's people who don't have access to this. So that's not fair. And so I told God, I was like, you're going to have to like figure this out for me, because what I'm doing with these Christian energy healers is causing so much confusion. And I remember a time that I was confused by Christians in my life and it wasn't good. And so I just surrendered all of it. I just threw it all out and I was like, I'm done. God's going to have to sort this out with me. And I'm just going to like take a break from feeling like I have to do all these things. But then I had a really beautiful, lovely, natural doctor for a decade who did incredible things for me. Mm-hmm. So then when I hit a new level of my health stuff, I went straight back to her. She had me on 35 supplements and yeah. I was like, whatever, she's fixed me before, she's helped me before. And a year later yeah. I was worse. And so yeah. for me, that was like another area where the pendulum had swung, because I had only ever had muscle testing on me in 10 years. So then when I got connected with somebody who ran actual labs, they're like good labs, you know, of course that the ones insurance won't cover is, yeah. all this stuff is showing up on my labs that like she never saw before with muscle testing. So I've kind of also like, I've swung both directions with that too, where like, I won't go purely off muscle testing anymore. Like I need to see like some of what's going on with my blood and my urine and then kind of test the muscle testing because
well, some of that is good. There's a time for needing diagnostic. Like mm-hmm. if you can't function and you want diagnostic, there's nothing wrong with that. The problem is when you get the diagnostic, how is that handled? Again, it's like truth sharing, right? It's like truth sharing. Okay, you've got the truth. Cool. My gallbladder's freaking failing. I am having an issue here. My gut's all wrecked. But it's like, I don't subscribe to the like, okay, now that like, what's the, and hey, if your state is like, I will take these pills and I will follow through and this is what resonates with me, I'm like, fine, go for it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, it helped me once, but then looking back, yeah. I don't think it got to the root. Whereas that's why this time, you know, right. my thyroid is showing up over and over, my hormones, but the practitioner I have right now, I really trust. And she's like, we can't look at that or talk about that at all right now. Like there's nothing we can do for that that isn't going to be a temporary like band-aid. We have to go over here and clean this up. And if we clean this up, that's not going to be a problem anymore.
Yes.
But I think it took so long for me to also like trust myself with who to trust. Like that's hard too. And in the end, over the last decade, it really did come back down to me learning, just remembering like God's activity in my life, and he loves me and he knows what's best for me. And right. I can screw up. So to when I notice I start getting confused or things start to feel a little chaotic with stuff, like stop, pull back, you know, like sit in the mm-hmm. sun, drink some water, reconnect, take a nap.
Yeah.
That's it's it. And I think that that's it too, is like, I know that you have a lot of amazing products and a lot of great information in your course. And I want to be sure girls know how to connect with that.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, like
So much of what we're craving spiritually and also the physical healing is coming all the way back down to those things that you were talking about that, that we've got counterfeit containers, like drink the real water that's been sitting in light, right? Drink, like sit in the real sunshine without sunblock on you, like get it in your eyeballs in the morning, walk. You know, like just go on a walk, put your feet in the dirt
or dance or laugh. Like, I feel like so much of my entire illness revolved around being so freaking serious. Like, I mean, I'm a serious person. Like, I'm deep person. Like, I like want to go there really fast, and that's good. But also, like, the root of me waking up, which I still do sometimes in pain, which a lot of people would be like, I'm chronic. I mean, I don't personally do that, but I will wake up in pain and I'll be like, I'm so stiff, because I can still be such a rigid person, not in my ideas, but in my pursuit of just being myself. You know what I mean? Like, I was told, essentially modeled as a 3-year-old, that from an event, which I don't need to go into, but that playtime was over. Like, this is it. You got to get serious. You need to mother your mother now, like at 3, y'all. So many people go through that. And although I've released that now and I'm good with that, like it still is a pattern that you tend to want to go back to, right? And that's what I say, like a supplement won't really fix that. Like a supplement might be like, make me feel a little bit better, or something might just take the edge off like the pain or whatever. But the making me fix that is continuing to understand that I can play with my kids and my body's strong, that I can like go play and jumping in my pool and, you know, resetting my nervous system. Like that's the kind of stuff that's going to fix that. So, you know, staying well hydrated. I mean, but, and it's all boils down to like personal choices. Like so many people, like, I love what you do, because what do? They sit in this like shame and blame, right? Like they're like, I make a choice, which when I posted that, it was kind of like, I wish I would have been told this. It was like the nature. I wish I would have told this before I spent $28,000 and almost got divorced. I really don't, because I consider that a gift now and God has restored that. But I do in a way of like, that would have been nice if my providers would have said like, well, this is going to be good, but it's not going to be the end of the road, which, you know, the way that's often pitched to us is like, here's your solution and this is it. But then what happens when the next life event happens? That solution didn't work anymore, right? So I always tell women this, and I definitely want to leave this thought. Jesus was nomadic. Like Jesus moved town to town to town to town, never stopping until he died. So if that is the case, then we always try to put these roots into so many things and just stay still. Like we try to stay in that place. Like I know we all have like these, some mothers who will be like, I want you to do what I did 30 years ago. I witnessed that with some of my family. And I'm like, that's not what I have seen in the Bible. And the Holy Spirit revealed to me, like, if you look at the Bible, you're just like, great, Jesus is going town to town. Go Jesus. He's freaking healing that person. If you pray and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal how you live in Jesus's image and you live like God, it's not to be a perfect person in one instance. It's to be like him. Like, so what, I don't know, the Lord convicted me is like that functional medicine journey, it had a place. It was fine. It doesn't have a place anymore. Like, I mean, food sensitivity testing was the worst thing that ever happened to me ever. It had a place because, I mean, I guess
now
I
you know.
Yeah, I mean, like, I guess I found out that I was allergic to everything I was eating. But what literally else it did was like make me an anxious freaking wreck and almost put me back into like my eating disorder. And now I'm like, now even to this day, because I always get very vulnerable because I believe it sets people free, is I struggle with body image because of food sensitivity testing. Like I look in the mirror and I feel disgusted. I'm like, my body is so gross, because once I got through food sensitivity testing after having a baby and dropped 22 pounds and looked like a rail thin person from college, I was like, this is freaking great. Well, now I'm my normal person again, right? I eat well, I feel well, there's no binging, like I generally feel good. So I'm like, I blame you, food sensitivity testing, but not really. I mean, what's funny is like sometimes those labs, which that one was a real idol for me naturally, because that was my struggle, was the eating and the food forever. So that's where you can get into trouble. It's like your struggle is like gonna trigger you. You know what I mean? So you just can't make that the idol. Like for me, that was like the one thing from functional medicine that I was like hanging on to. I'm like, yes, I'm going to eat like this. It was like the license to freaking not eat one thing besides like sweet potatoes and beans. And I'm like, yeah, who can do that? And I was nursing a baby. And so now I like, I often tell my husband, I'm like, I'm going to cut dairy while I'm like making a cream cheese roll up with buffalo chicken on it. I'm like, never cutting dairy ever again, you know? But anyway, I just say that because somebody should have said to me, the reason why you're gluten intolerant is because you're rejecting nurture. The reason why you have these issues is because, you know, you don't feel safe to rest and digest. Like you haven't forgiven yourself for living on laxatives in college. Like these are the things that I know a lot of providers don't take you to, but when they do, it's a gift. Like when your provider takes you there, and that's kind of why I wanted to talk to you, was because for your listeners, when your provider takes you there, that's great. You just need to pick providers who do, and you need to be okay with leaving ones who don't. Like pick your providers wisely. You know what I mean? Like,
if they're not telling you to sit in the sun and drink your water and move right. your body, they're already doing harm, because that's going to solve 40% of the problem right there and expedite all of the, you know, efforts that you're putting in.
Yes. And never believe that there's like one way to get to a solution. Like that's something that is really interesting to me. Like you can mineralize yourself with my $200 fulvic and humic acid recommendation, or you can buy a bag of clay that's $10 on Amazon for a 10-year supply. You'll be like totally fine. Like there's so many ways to get to the end goal. You know what I mean? And you got to be strategic in how you're picking that. The problem is when like, you know, we just hang on to somebody. I mean, when somebody gets into my direct messages, I'm often like, well, let's jump on a call and I'll kind of triage your lifestyle and see properly what to recommend. And the amount of relief I hear is
on my scope of things is the stress point. Like if you're stressed and your cortisol's up, you just stop even trying right now. Like get your cortisol down. Right?
That's why I need to work with you.
But it's a game changer. And that's why I work with practitioners like you, because somebody can be doing all the things and it might even be the right things, but their body is so like, I have to do this. I have to do this. And I just want to feel better. Mm-hmm. And then your cortisol's up. Like when your cortisol's up, you don't have blood in your brain. You can't think straight. Your organs are starting to shut down. So it's, you know, I've seen it over and over and over where a practitioner stops having
success
with a client. And then they come over to me and now we're like, okay, really? Like we're not talking about the stress of the protocol. We're like, if you've never done your work, you know? And so now we're just doing emotional, what's the stuff that keeps you stuck in life? And they start moving through that. They go back and they have a huge like dump, you know, they really have a big release. Now the work that they're doing is starting to take, moving, it's working again. And so that's where I know that like it's a balance, because some people, and I think the idol thing is such an important thing. Like, are you just idolizing your physical health and doing all these physical things while ignoring your spiritual and emotional nature? Because you're not going to get well by ignoring this part of you.
No,
you know, and like really, truly knowing the person that God created you to be is going to heal you.
That's
it. Like it's just going to heal you. How long do you have?
Well, I have to jump in the car line in about, I mean, I need to disconnect in about 2 to 3, 5 minutes, but
we can totally have to do this again, because we didn't do our five facts and our soul ties.
I know. You want to just go over it? Like how that works? Record it for the listeners? Or are you saying you want to record our
collaboration? I don't know how long you have. I don't know how long you have.
Do you want to go through it for the listeners to hear, or do you actually want to record our collaboration?
I do want to, but I want to make sure we have time for it. So we might have to connect another time on that one.
I'd have to have that be separate, but I mean, but we can point people back to the real. I mean, severing energy with people is, because we could go in for about a whole nother hour on how people hold you back from the energy. Yeah, let's reconnect, because that does, you know, that ties back to the, I mean, I would love to talk about how, and this is not bad, but the root cause of a lot of people's issues I usually see is parental interference. I'm not even going to call it bad or good parental behavior because I don't believe in that anymore. But that type of, I don't believe that verbiage is productive, even for someone who has addict parents and, you know, a lot, my entire life, people would say that was so bad. And I would just agree. Right. I'd be like, yeah, that was so bad. That was horrible. What happened is that I inflated a lot of things that weren't true about my upbringing. And then that led to more sickness. So what's really interesting is if you start looking at your life in parental disruption and you disconnect your energy from that, you can actually approach that from a really healed place. So maybe we should do like a podcast on that, because I'd love to talk about that and go deeper into how our parents, you know, like as good as they are, or, you know, as they're just trying their best, but they do affect us. And then codependency with other people is very important.
It is. I know. Yeah. There's a lot of it. Well, yeah. Thank you for doing this with me today. I think it was, great. It was interesting because getting our schedules to align is just, I think of you as somebody who, like, probably every single one of your followers wants all of your attention all of the time and wants to be friends with you. Yeah. And, you know, and then what I do is, like, part of my job is to like show up as a real true friend for all of my clients. And there's a lot of yes. demand. And so I was like, oh, and then tonight's the blue moon and there's not supposed to be another one for four. And I was like, okay, so we got our schedules to work on a blue moon, which
yeah,
I
thought was we really shot this cool. at the perfect time.
And then that's like energy, frequency, blue, you know, like, and so I thought that was really fun.
I'm so, proud.
Yeah. And so just thank you for doing what you do for all of us, because I know yeah. for me, like your gift of making like a really important point in a short period, like you use your reels very wisely. I have a hard time. Okay. They stress me out a little bit, but, you know, just getting to those points and helping women find the answers and to like, be okay with saying maybe, and that there's not like one, that's where I got stuck, was like, there has to be one exact way and one exact way to God and one exact way to my health and one exact way to whatever. Like that was my idol, right? Like to just like realize like, yeah. oh my gosh, like that's, it's hard. Like it's hard getting out of our own heads.
Yeah. We must be in a unique energetic time. I mean, I don't study like all of that as in depth as some people, but I know the amount of people who've reached out to me, and seriously, in the last week, I might've told you this, that are like, hey, would you want a dialogue about what I'm learning about Christianity? And I was like, sure. I was like, I don't know if you're going to want to hear what I have to say, but, yeah. and it's not even bad. Like I personally remember, and this is like a true story, COVID was a gift for me because I mean, I did leave a church during COVID. There was a lot that I didn't agree with that the Holy Spirit had aligned, and COVID was kind of just the icing on the cake. I didn't want to leave for the wrong reasons 2 years before that, because my, you know, just the wrong reasons. My husband wasn't in church. I didn't want to like drag my kids around. It was just too hard. And I just find it so interesting. Like God does not stress about the questions. You know what I mean? And I don't personally think that God stresses about the legalistic stuff either. That's just a personal thing. I don't see Jesus talk a lot about that in the Bible. What I see Jesus talk about, and I mean, I might need to reread it or somebody can point it out to me, is that I see Jesus talk about just moving along, living in the present, focusing on doing things that align with him, which is the way, the truth, and the life. So I'm like, okay, I mean, and I don't see a lot of other things, you know what I mean? Like, I don't see it being that complicated as other people have made it in religious structures. So, you know, and then I think, hey, the church is so co-branded with Big Pharma. Like I have to wonder about that. Like literally, if you go to a hospital, every hospital has a church name on the side of their building. And you guys can Google that was a complete marketing plan. Like that was a whole thing. You can find it really out there about how they wanted to drive more people in the doors on both sides and negotiated that partnership. So that is interesting to me. I'm like, and it's not that I think the church is just standing up there. Your pastor is going like, get into Big Pharma. Like when I said to my church, half your congregation is addicts. And they were like, what do you mean? And I was like, let me break down for you. And they're like, no, you just need to leave. What happens is when you're in a group that's aligned with bondage, you know, like sin, it's groupthink. Like you feel like it's just normal until you pull yourself out of it. So like me and you have both pulled ourselves outside to be able to be like, what is really normal here? Oh,
because I was the Sunday Christian when people would be like, no, I'd invite them to church and they were like, no, I don't need to be in church to have a relationship with God. I'm like, yes, you do. And, you know, like that was me. Yes. I was like, but you're missing out. Like you're missing out on the fellowship and like worship. Like there's only goodness that can come of connecting yourself with people. And I miss like so much of the fellowship that came with church. I really am starving for that community, but you know, there's not a lot of like-minded people anymore. And, we keep showing up, we keep trying different. And it's like every single time, you know, it's kind of just goes into the same thing where it's like, if the psychiatrist prescribing a Xanax only learned how to prescribe Xanax, then they're going to do a really good job of that, you know? And these pastors, God bless them, went to the schools that our government said they could go to, right? Like there's no schools teaching pastors. And maybe someone can correct me on this, that is like outside of the scope of what has been said is allowed to be taught to them. So they're also only learning what is allowed to be taught to them.
Yep. It's a contained environment. Another contained environment. I mean,
so when you find a pastor speaking the truth on the things of the Bible that have been removed and taken away, send me there, because I would really love someone who's not only teaching what they were allowed to learn.
Yeah. Or, you know, just reading the scriptures and getting all their revelation from there, because I mean, that's totally like, I personally think that's a slippery slope. I think that paints a picture of a narcissistic God, but I'm not saying that it isn't like a living word that you can't be inspired by. I'm just saying, again, if you idolize it, then that paints more of a narcissistic picture, not a picture of freedom. And what are we all chasing after? Freedom. I don't understand the freedom disruption in that environment, right? I feel like if it has to have so much control, it can't be freedom. Now, I mean, the argument to that is, well, without control, we would just have total anarchy. I don't know. I mean, we live in a sin world. I get it. I'm not sure how I feel about the whole story. I'm fine to show up and say that. What I am saying is like, my life's a lot better when I'm pursuing this version of being able to ask questions, release shame, operate in forgiveness, and than it is the other way when I'm so freaking chronically stressed about doing right or wrong and, you know, just horribly feeling horrible. So, you know, that's generally what I think about it. I'm a very simple person. I don't think too much.
No, you're not. All right. Well, go get your kids and we'll be in touch on all the other magical stuff.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want to get in contact with Chelsea, please hop over to Instagram and search up Chelsea the Chosen. She has one of the most beautiful membership groups I've ever known of. It's only $21 a month, and every single question that she's ever been asked is answered in there. So hop over there, enjoy that, reap all the benefits. There's some really beautiful stuff happening in her community. And because there's just never enough time in the world when Chelsea and I get together, we went ahead and made a part two for you. So pop over to episode 8 that's available to you right now. She and I are going to discuss some of our favorite tools that we use in our daily lives with our friends, family, children, and our clients. This is a conversation that you're not going to want to miss. See you over there.
Thank you for listening to another episode. It means so much to me that this is how you would choose to spend your time. I hope you're as excited as I am and already feel more hopeful. If you found value here, please link arms with me by sharing with someone you just know would benefit too. If you'd leave me a review, it would mean the world to me, because what you have to say about our work here speaks volumes to those searching for answers. And last, I love connecting with my listeners. So reach out to me on Instagram at tapping_unstuck or email me at tappingunstuck@gmail.com.